The fact that government actions are putting some people out of business is not new. And that fact actually is the tragic part. It's not new. Last month in Calgary, 8,000 business owners facing double-digit tax increases finally got together, had enough, and demanded the city rein in spending. Well, that hasn't happened yet in Vancouver. But come on, with so many businesses being pushed to the brink, I think that may change. And a hint to business owners, if you're listening, unless that does, unless you take aggressive action, government is not going to stop till it puts you out of business. Remember what happened with Dulux Paints on Broadway in Vancouver? Been in the same location for 50 years, but finally, government taxes pushed them out. Their property taxes last year, I think, were $22,000. This year, up another $16,000, bringing the total property tax bill to an astounding $225,000. They cried no mas and closed the store. As Global News reported this week, the Manifesto Hair Salon, which was struggling till Sally Trainer took it over in 2010 in Vancouver, turned the business around, only to find the government still wants more and more. Her property taxes on her little 750-square-foot business store are now $800 a month, double since she took over. Instead of celebrating her success and keeping the doors open, government is forcing her to take action, downsize, and, God forbid, go like Dulux Paint and be forced out of business. What's the anti-business crowd, along with our self-described progressions, what they don't get is that they refuse to see that businesses are facing a myriad of tax increases. Come on, any business got to pay higher Canada Pension Plan premiums now, every year for the next 4 years. BC, they now pay a carbon tax, but here's the thing, it's no longer revenue neutral. They're actually the biggest disadvantage in the country on that score. Of course, Alberta, I know, has canceled their carbon tax, but if the feds come in and reinstate another one, and I know there'll be court cases, then BC would be at the biggest disadvantage. It's just a bigger disadvantage right now compared to Alberta. It doesn't even pay. I mean, the list just goes on. In BC, you can also add on a new health tax that the employers have to pay for every employee. And at the same time, they're mandatory insurance rates. Remember, there's no real insurance competition in British Columbia. Their insurance rates for vehicles are up over 3 times the rate of inflation. So here's really the question. Should the government really be in the business of putting people out of business? Because that's what they're good at. The biggest obstacle in the way of business surviving and thriving is now government. Just like they're the biggest obstacle to affordable housing when they add on hundreds of thousands of dollars to the cost of a new house or condo in various fees, or the cost of zoning regulations, delays, that cost more, and taxes, of course. Quick example, though. Recent study by the Canadian Federation of Independent Business estimates that the combined regulatory burden of 3 levels of government cost businesses $36 billion in 2017. And of course, that hits small business the hardest because they don't have a staff standing there ready to go. At times, they don't have the expertise to handle the regulatory paper load. I mean, it takes hundreds of hours to simply comply with government rules and regulations. So again, back to the question, should government be in the business of putting people out of business? Because it is happening all the time. Just wondering, does it actually bother you? Because if it does, you're in the minority. And it certainly doesn't bother the majority of politicians. I find it outrageous. We're talking about people's livelihood, their family's well-being, and again, it doesn't bother them a bit. It's tough enough to make a go in this kind of a competitive environment. You sure as heck don't need the big foot of government on your throat working against you. Sometimes I think the government's motivated by anti-capitalist, anti-business ideology, and we got plenty of those people fed by a teachers' union, arts faculties at universities, and many in the media that are predominantly anti-business. Other times I think it's just cluelessness. I mean, look at the federal liberal small business tax proposals introduced in the summer of 2017. There was absolutely no sign that the government even had an inkling as to how difficult it is, how much work is involved or the risk entailed to make a business succeed. I'll guarantee you there are very few in government, especially in the self-described progressive left, who even consider the impact on business of new taxes and regulations. Gosh, remember in BC, finance minister stood up and said, no, they didn't take into account, they did no modeling on the impact of the NDP's new speculation tax on real estate, the new school tax, the increase in the property purchase tax, increase in the foreign buyers tax in conjunction in an environment with a new stress test and rising interest rates. Nope, didn't do any modeling about what impact that might have on people and their jobs. Wow. That's just how far down business is in the agenda. I mean, anyone want to bet that before introducing any new tax, that the party in power sits down and says, let's also figure out what's happening at the other two levels of government? Because that's the story. It's the old, there's only one taxpayer, but there's three levels of government working hard to add to the burden. But it's not just government, by the way, who couldn't care less about small business. I suspect they're just reflecting the attitude of the majority of Canadians. I mean, I'll give you an example. Do you think the pipeline opponents spend a moment thinking about the impact on small businesses and their employees if the pipeline's canceled? Well, of course not. Government tax and regulatory policy is putting people out of business, increasing unemployment, devastating families. In short, the anti-business crowd that's so prominent in public sector unions, to public education, to state broadcaster, has now grown to include workers. And it wasn't just, hey, we're against business. We're now against workers. Which I guess is why so few people blink when a government forces someone out of business.